What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. It's Wednesday, and every Wednesday, our job is to bring you a practical solution. Do you know that you don't really have a new patient problem? You actually have a loyalty problem, and there's data that proves that. Do you also know that new patients have a 50% chance of no-showing for their appointment in your practice? One last thing you should know is that patient attrition is at an all-time high in your practice, with 44% of patients not returning within 18 months. Well, today, I have a good friend of ours, Brad James, on the podcast, and he shows us the secrets behind this real data and what you can do about it. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. Do you ever wonder, like, how is my practice doing? And you're starting to search for data and you look for everywhere and you can't find data. Sometimes you have to dig for data. And I'm like, where is this data? Do you know how many years of my life I have spent trying to find data? And then I find it and I'm like, is it accurate data? Is it not accurate data? Well, today we're going to be talking about how do we reduce the lack of visibility or increase the visibility? That might be a better way to say it. Into our practice data with a dear friend of ours, Brad James, who's going to be on and help us with this. So, Brad, thanks for being back, brother. I always appreciate you.
Kirk, great to reconnect. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I love having you on because I always learn a ton, and you guys are too. So he's going to help us through this. And you and I have done this a lot. You've been on our podcast many times. But I want people to know who you are. We have a lot of listeners now. We have dental students and even pre-dental students listening, so they might not know who Brad James is. So give us a little background. Who are you and what do you do?
Yeah. So personally, I'm based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm married to my beautiful wife for now 2 years, and we're expecting our first child in October. So we're really excited about the thrill of anticipation that's coming with that. On the side, just interest in hobbies. I'm a huge music fan. I love sports. On the professional side, I've been with Clear & Membercy for now 7 years. And a lot of my time here, has been focused on the sales and development side. And sometimes everyone always thinks about the numbers with sales, but when you take a step back and you really think about it, a lot of my job is really identifying potential in people, so i.e. my team members, and also with the people that we're speaking with every day, so practices. So a lot of that, like once you fully buy into that concept, I mean, nothing gets me more excited nowadays than unlocking untapped potential in either someone that's on my team that I work with every day, or seeing one of our new customers hit their growth targets and seeing that they understand what impact that has on their practice. So overall, that's a lot of what I do. It's people coaching. It's the leadership aspect. It's helping practices achieve their goals. And it's funny. I was telling you, Kirk, before we jumped on, but I was a huge fan of that Jeff Jansen podcast yesterday, talking about leadership and coaching and how to build culture within practices. So, you know, that's kind of the type of stuff on the leadership side that I love to kind of nerd out a little bit.
Yeah. And it's no small topic anymore. We were kind of talking before we hit the go button. I met Jeff, my daughter goes to UNC, and it's amazing how many of these programs are going all in on developing leadership, giving them 360 tests, like really evaluating how they communicate, how they create better culture. Because it's one thing to say it, but it's another thing to actually do it. And a lot of time coaches don't have the bandwidth to do this. So you're out there just like me coaching dental practices, because you know if they get this right, everything changes. So you're speaking my language, buddy. And we were also talking, like, one of the problems, I'm a big data fan. Now, 31 years of doing this, data's really come on the scene more and more. Now people are talking about analytics. We're doing Metric Mondays. There's so much talk about data. But one of the challenges is that a lot of private practice owners have is the lack of visibility on practice data. So can you just tell us what that is? Why is that such a big issue for a practice owner?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a big problem for really any business in general. It doesn't matter your size. It doesn't matter what industry, who you're serving or who you're working with. I mean, you need to understand the results and what's going on day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. It really just makes sense. So a lot of our, on my side with the sales and my team, is we're speaking with practices every single day. And I always find it really surprising, you know, so many of them are generating $1 million plus, $2 million plus, are really successful. And the dentists themselves are working 3 days a week. There's great work-life balance. But I'm always surprised how many of these practices don't actually understand the data portion of, if I have to open up and lift up the hood a little bit, what's really going on in my practice? So that's layer one, is just basics, what's happening. And then even if they do have access, because I know, like, the luxury of them working with ACT Dental, for instance, is you help them have the data at their fingertips, analyze it. But then there's also the portion of some of the practices that just work with these analytics companies. How do they interpret that data and build it into strategic, actionable items? That's the whole next step too. So layer one is, do I even know what's happening, and what does it mean, and what do I do about it? And I think that type of environment creates a lot of reactivity instead of proactivity. And I can touch on, like, what reactive environments create, but I'd love to hear, Kirk, it sounds like when you all are talking with a new client, like, how frequent is it that they don't necessarily know what's going on in their data? What's the impact? What are common blind spots?
Yeah, you're the expert here, but, like, I'm going to give you my opinion. We always say data removes all emotion. You know, when you have data, you can remove the emotion. And you're going to talk about the emotion and the knee-jerk reactions, what happens. On our side of things, as coaches, once we start getting into the data, number one is they don't know the data. You know, they're like, oh, my write-offs are only 10%. And we know just by looking at the data, it's incorrect. So one of the things that we find is that the data is incorrect, but there's always a reason. They're not inputting it correctly. They're not closing out the months. And that's actually a good thing. So, and we also say that any change process starts with first telling the truth. Like, we have to find out the truth of the baseline. So really, for the first 2-3 months, it's like getting our arms around accurate data. Is this accurate? So that's the first piece. The second piece is, if you go back in any of these analytic platforms, there's so much data that you can actually be extremely overwhelmed and really upset. You can go, oh my gosh, look at this. And then you only look at the bad. And so you look at the red, you look at the challenges, no different than your kid coming home with a report card and he's got all A's except for the C. Now you're hyper-focused on the C and you want to create countermeasures to this. But I think you're saying exactly, I see where you're going. There's, like, once you get the data right, you have to be calm. And I'll put in a third layer is, we as coaches coach some great dental practices, but you can't focus on 100 data points. Our coaches are professionally trained to identify the 3 or 4 that move the needle every 90 days. So by moving these big ones that matter the most to the practice, number one, you can see its results. Number two, the team, whether it be 10 people or 100 people in the practice, can collectively work together, you know, and they can start to build confidence around these metrics. Now, I said a lot, but I'd love for you to talk about what your findings and speak more about the knee-jerk reactions, which happen a lot.
Yeah. And I love that you touched on understanding the why behind the numbers, and also just, like, when you are able to pinpoint on something you need and you can achieve at increasing or decreasing that specific metric, then it's almost like, what's next? But talking about the knee-jerk reactions, yeah, it's tough to make impactful and meaningful decisions when you're not in tune with what's happening. And a lot of what we've seen, and it's almost just thinking about it myself, if I didn't look at anything every morning and every afternoon before I finish my day, I would be a lot more stressed out. You know, because as soon as you're not looking at it on a frequent basis, and most of these practices, they do morning huddles, whether it's on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, whatever that may be, that cadence, the more you can up it, the better, because then you're making your life a lot less stressful. Because when you don't know, and then you know when it's too late, what do you start doing? Knee-jerk reactions. You might start cutting costs in areas that make a lot of sense for you, because we've seen that a lot of practices can potentially cut costs without actually evaluating how much should I invest in this tool or in this specific aspect of my practice. What was the ROI that I was expecting on this? Because so many things require investment, especially when you're working with a third party or whatever it may be. So the number one thing that we've been seeing when it comes to numbers is revenue leakage is a bit of a silent killer, because it's something, especially when you don't know your numbers, it's not like it's a huge lump sum of money that's immediate. It's something that's, you know, it's a thousand paper cuts. And it's something that accumulates slowly, but it adds up over time. And, you know, we've seen that a lot of when it comes to where the revenue's leaking, a lot of practices will point to PPO reimbursements. They will point to their hygiene schedules are empty. Or maybe it is also that they don't have new patients coming in. No matter what, you boil it down to there's a revenue problem. What exactly is happening? Where can I diagnose it? We've seen that something that's very prevalent right now is attrition.
Okay.
So we see that the no-show rate for new patients when they schedule up front for the average practice is half of those patients won't show up. And then the other portion is if a patient does show up, we're seeing that within an 18-month span, only 44% of patients are sticking to visiting once within an 18-month span.
Okay, so, wait. Go back to that. I love this because, and this is why I love this company so much. You guys were the first to tell me, like, new patients can sometimes be the worst. And this data has been pretty consistent. This isn't like brand new data. So as you can imagine, I talk to dentists all over the country and they're like, I get 200 new patients. And my first thought is that sounds terrible. You know, so what you're saying is like, everyone thinks new patients is the secret, but 50% of new patients right now, the data that shows in you guys have, which is brilliant, half of them don't show. And of the half that do show, 44% of those, basically half, will not return in 18 months. Did I hear that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So making sure that you have proper hygiene reappointments is obviously critical, and we can have a whole separate conversation about that. But consistently, what we see is that uninsured patients, since access to health isn't necessarily the easiest thing for them, they're the highest risk when it comes to not returning, not spending money, not listening to your suggestions for treatment. So boiling the entire subject down, without these strategic and data-driven insights, the instinct is knee-jerk reaction. Any business, let's go out. If you're a dental practice, let's get new patients. If you're a business, let's get new logos. But we're in this day and age right now, especially with where we're at economically and increasing overhead and costs and expenses, efficiency is going to be king. And that's really where, as a dental practice, when your margins are getting thinner with insurances, when the margin for error is razor thin, don't necessarily look at new patients. Of course, they're great and you want them in your practice, but we've seen that if you can get more out of the patients that trust you and continue to lean on loyalty and maximize that loyalty, it's something where you can see from a revenue standpoint, you'll see increases in not just recall visits, but the more they're in the chair, the more likely they are to accept treatment. And obviously that's where production and collections can all increase. So that's a really interesting aspect of it.
Yeah. I want to go back to a couple of things you said. Now, just for you listening, I want you to hear this clearly. So you said like patients without coverage are a majority of responsible for it. Now, let's be specific about coverage. What you're not saying everyone should have insurance coverage, and only because we've had this conversation before. This is really important to understand. A lot of people don't go to the dentist because they don't have an incentive to, or they don't have to go to the dentist. So you, as a dental practice owner, you got to think, like, how do I tether these people to our practice? And so if they have a financial incentive, which doesn't have to be dental insurance, it can actually be a membership program. That's what you guys do. And I'll go one step higher than this. I don't want to be all over the place, but I'm going to say this to any business owner. If you own any type of business, and I do mean any type of business, and you don't have a membership program or a loyalty program or a customer appreciation program, that is negligible. That is poor design, because every business, I don't care if it's the grocery store, I don't care if it's an airlines, I don't care if it's a restaurant. I just went and bought drinks for a bunch of my friends, and I didn't even realize I had points. It was $60 for the bill. I had 30 points, $30. I'm like, oh, this is my place. And I didn't even know I had these points. My point is this, is that people love to be loyal. And let me add one more layer, Brad, because I love this stuff and I could turn this into a 2-hour podcast. We're watching metrics on the other side of things. And a lot of the practices that we pull metrics on, APV, annual patient value, it is fascinating to watch that membership patients actually have a higher APV than out-of-network patients. And oftentimes insurance, many times, almost every time, more than insurance, you know, PPO patients. So am I on the right track here with any of this?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think that I love the mention of it's APV. Is that right?
Yeah, annual patient value, which is collections, for those that are listening. Collections, your annual collections divided by the number of active patients, which tells you the value. Now, one more layer deeper on this, if you're really paying attention and taking notes, is you're going to segment your patients. Not all patients are the same. You have PPO patients, you have out-of-network patients, you have membership patients, and when you segment those, you're going to see the APV. So of those patients, what were the collections? How many of them are active patients? Pull the numbers. It'll blow you away how valuable those individual patients are to your practice, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And the whole APV mindset is exactly what you're looking to do, is you're looking to maximize what you're getting out of each patient. So they're receiving the treatment they need, because for so many of these uninsured patients, affordability, but also there's this psychological element that I don't have insurance, so it's going to cost me an arm and a leg. But when you're able to provide these membership plans to them, you're taking care of the affordability aspect in a way that you're in control of, as opposed to a third-party insurer. And then on top of that, this is where you're really building that loyalty aspect, and you're giving them that peace of mind with it. And it's so interesting, because many practices can often think, if I have my cash-paying patients, these uninsured patients, they're probably paying me 100% out of pocket. They're my most profitable. I'm a little bit hesitant and shaky on wanting to touch that.
Right.
But there's two things that I'll say. I'll say, one, going back to your mention of airlines, even restaurants nowadays, everyone's offering these loyalty, these membership programs. And you bet that some of these publicly traded companies, they know exactly what they're doing and why they're offering it. It's because, like you said, these loyal consumers, they want to be loyal. They want to feel like they're getting something special. And usually they become much more passionate about those businesses, those services that they're receiving. So there's totally a behavioral aspect of it. But on the other side, what's the alternative if you're seeing, if you do dig into the numbers and you're not necessarily happy with what you're seeing from these uninsured patients? Because, like, we'll go back to the marketing. It is such a knee-jerk reaction of, we'll just spend more. It'll solve everything. But that's really avoiding the attrition problem, that revolving door that may or may not exist in your practice. And some of the usual suspects are, you know, I'll just offer a new patient special. Well, with the new patient specials, that's low margin, that's low recall, that's high churn. It's not, it's short-term thinking for believing that you're going to have long-term benefits from it.
Right.
So offer them, have it. I'm not saying any of these things are bad, but just like anything else, you don't want to be one dimensional in your offerings, in your business. You want to diversify. You want to be a bit more dynamic in having different channels for how can I make sure each patient feels like they're receiving personalized care, that I'm showing that I care for them as a patient.
Yeah.
So new patient specials. And then on top of that, interesting data point. So for our customers where we're able to integrate with their PM software, we see that the average across all of our customers, practices give on average a 14% discount on their cash patients.
Really?
So that can be at the front desk. That can be when they're in the chair being offered case presentation. You know, we hear all the time about practices giving away an arbitrary senior discount, or they'll give it away to increase case acceptance, and especially in desperate times. And a lot of it is like team members going a bit rogue. So when we talk to the doctors, they're not usually thrilled when they know about it. But long story short, a lot of these cash patients, whether you're really thinking about it or not, they're receiving savings in a way that's just not structured and measurable.
Yeah, absolutely. And two things I'll say to what you just said. I think everyone is learning, and I do mean everyone's learning, that bigger is not better. Bigger can actually be badder, meaning that if you're writing off a lot and just adding more and more patients under the umbrella of more PPOs, the write-offs are climbing, you're making less money, and these patients will leave you in 1 second for somebody who's cheaper and easier to get into, of which you can't compete with. So I think now more than ever, the independent practice owner has to be smart about keeping patients. Like, I'm going to put this all together because I'm passionate about this, and I don't care if it sounds like I'm selling this or not. I actually don't care what you do. I think it would be silly for you not to consider a membership program, but like, think about this. If Brad, what you're saying is true, new patients are actually not the best way to grow a practice. Half of them are not going to show, which is going to leave some chair time open. And of the other half, only half of them are going to stay. It's definitely part of your process, but it can't be your all chips in process. A better way to think about this is if you're a private practice owner and you're one doctor practice, you only need 1,500 patients. So if you practice for 3 decades or 4 decades, spend all of your time attracting, keeping, and tethering the right type of patients to your practice and creating incentives for them to do so, like a loyalty program, like a membership program. And you can do what's called a fee balance at the end of the year. People think membership programs, oh, I'm giving away all these discounts. No, you're basically adjusting your fees for something that allows a benefit for them to come to your office. Now, one more thing, Brad, you're going to love this, because when you create a membership program, guess who the administrator of the program is? It's you. Guess how many people they go to on this program? One, it's your office. I mean, you make the rules. It's so cool when you do this whole process and you think better. And this is something that you could easily lean into. And I'll add one more thing, and then I want you to talk about this. Some people have tried it. They go, it doesn't work. And then when I talk to them, I go, you didn't really try it. You actually didn't even try it at all. You just put it up there and you didn't even work it. But if you went from 100, let's say you have 100 patients on it now. 3 months, you got 300 patients. Another 6 months, you got 600 patients. In 1 year, you have 1,000 patients on it. I guarantee you, you're not talking about PPOs at all. You're so excited and your team is excited to promote that type of program. And again, I'm going to ask you this question. Am I on the right track? This might be something you can do to mitigate the attrition challenge?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I love that you mentioned it's not all just about volume. You know, how can we make sure we're getting that new patient acquisition, but making sure over time that their lifetime value is meaningful for my practice? We want to make sure we're not just getting them in the chair and then we'll never see them again. So build in that retention aspect by leading with loyalty with the membership plans and do it in a way that's systemized. I mean, most practices really struggle with systems. And obviously, Kirk, like Plug for Act Dental, that's why you all are around. You help them understand what's going on in the practice. You help them put these guardrails in place. You help them with the culture, the leadership. It's not just for that as well. Like, it goes for each and every aspect of your practice. And with a membership plan, if you just think about it, if you really have a solid portion of your cash paying patients that may or may not be coming in. And you have an opportunity to maximize that potential. Because look elsewhere in your business. With PPOs, if you're in network with insurances, you can't really negotiate for the most part if we're just looking across the board with the insurance companies. And then with your cash patients, that is your biggest growth lever unless you're planning on going full out of network, full fee for service. And still, plenty of those practices offer these membership plans as well.
Right.
So just making sure that you're doing it in a way, going back to the data portion, it goes beyond these membership plans of just making sure it's nice for the patient and you're giving them better access to care. With the team element, you're going to give them a lot more confidence because we hear all the time, these cash paying patients, they're asking for what to do. What alternatives do you suggest? And the last thing I know any listener who's a practice owner wants is them going onto Delta.com or just any other insurance company and joining their own individual plan. Because if you check on any of their websites, it is what they're doing. They're starting to market to individual consumers, especially as more retirees start to lose their benefits. So long story short, you really just want to make sure you have something for them. It'll make your team confident. And overall, if you can really measure it, that's where you can start to see, is this impactful? If it is impactful, and I like the margins with your membership plan patients, that's where you can start to pull some levers. Do I want to maybe increase percent discounts, or do I want to, all my patients seem really happy, all my members, I can probably take off 5% and start to profit 5% more. And they're still going to be happy. They know they're getting a great deal. So there's all types of informed decisions that you can make. And by offering the membership plans, you're getting these patients that will come in more frequently, they'll hold their appointments, and you're going to see an increase 66% in cash production. So overall, do it in a way that's measurable and meaningful, and you're going to see huge benefits from it.
Yeah, one thing I really love about what you guys do is all of this is trackable. So all these myths that you have in your head. Now, I'm a coach, so if you're listening to this podcast, I'm just going to tell you what to do. Just do it, because like all of the myths you have in your head about like, oh, I'm going to be giving all my dentistry away. No, you'll be actually able to see the metrics back on the platform. Like, what did you give away? What did you get in return as far as restorative care goes? And you can say, does this work for my practice? Now, one other piece of data that we haven't talked about in a while is there's a myth, Brett. A lot of people think cash paying patients come in twice a year. You know, that's okay. I got cash paying patients. They come in twice a year, but you guys actually track this. What's the real data show?
So the average cash paying patient comes in once every 2 years, whereas the average insured patient is coming in once a year. So the vast majority of these patients, I think it's around 18% really of cash patients come in with their recall visits. So it's a major opportunity for you to take care of, how do I get these patients to visit more routinely? How do I build this relationship with them? And the more they're sitting in the chair, the more likely they're going to trust us. And a lot of just anything that's transactional, you don't want to call healthcare transactional, but when there's dollars and cents attached to it and patients have the ability to say yes or no, that's what they're registering in their brain. And really what you want to do is help them make a confident decision, build that trust, make them feel comfortable, and then they're going to trust you. You're going to see that case acceptance will increase and the rest will follow. And what's great is you all, as a clinician, you're now having more meaningful relationships with these cash paying patients who can always be a bit of a wild card. And on top of that, on the practice ownership side, you will see the dividends and the profits from this. Yeah. So overall, that's really what you want to do. And some practices will try to do it themselves, or they'll work with a third party. Just evaluate team bandwidth. And right now we hear pretty frequently that a lot of teams are struggling with staffing. Maybe there's not a ton of stability. Maybe there's a lot of turnover, or maybe everyone's pretty spread thin. That's where you really want to start to evaluate and say, you know, if I do have a solid portion of cash paying patients, maybe there's a lot of upside and potential here. And then I don't want anyone on my team to feel burdened by it. And there's so many administrative opportunities that that we support practices with and that we help them out with. But that's ultimately what you want to do is, can I measure this? Will my team adopt it? And will it be successful? And then lastly, we're even starting to measure, we're starting to dig deeper into the data points. We're starting to look now, patient behaviors for cash patients 2 years before using the membership plan and then 2 years after using the membership plan. So this is a way for us to really dig into the behavioral and also spending habits of these patients. And it's really tremendous and consistent, the results that we're seeing. One practice in particular, we saw over a 2 year period, they generated over $1 million over 2 years. So half a million in a year span, just by making sure that the membership plan is firing on all cylinders. And, you know, there were a lot of other practices that were in that six figure range, which I would think most small businesses want that opportunity, especially if they're not necessarily looking to shell out a bunch of money with marketing or whatever else. So that's just some really interesting data to where we're showing more and more to the customers what's really going on. How did it change before and after, so that they're understanding the whole and the big picture behind it?
Yeah. And I'll say all of this, because again, I get to podcast all the time, so I get to hear all this stuff. If I'm buying your practice at some point down the line, one of the things I'm going to evaluate is, are these real patients and are they tethered to the practice? If you create your own membership program, you can say, these are real patients that are tethered to only my practice. And I can show you the profitability of this patient segment. Now, I also need to say this. People are not, you know, dollars. That's not what we're saying. But there's a value each one of these great patients brings to your practice. You can show them on paper, yeah, I have a significant portion of my practice, or not, or maybe even most of it, that these are membership. That becomes a huge value point in selling your practice, because those are real people. I don't need to audit your charts at all. I can see these people coming in. I can see what they spend, and that becomes amazing. And I'm going back and rereading a book. If you're listening to this, read this book. So Brad told me to do this, and so did Dave. Read the book called The Membership Economy. You mentioned it a long time ago. Like I read it, I loved it, and then I started getting involved in it, and I'm like, this makes sense. I'm rereading it, and it's brilliant. And one of the things the author says is, like, membership is an attitude. Loyalty is an attitude. Subscriptions, that's a payment arrangement. So don't think about like a payment arrangement as a way to build your practice. What you're doing with a membership is you're creating an attitude about how you're going to care for these people, look after them, keep them in your practice, find the right ones, give them a reason. So that's a much better way to look at this than, oh, financially, this is a better opportunity for me and my patients and my team members. And as you start to do that, you're going to see your team is going to adopt that attitude. Don't you think, Brad?
Oh yeah, certainly. You're totally right, Kirk. The element here is on the behavior side. It really is trust and it's empathy. And when you're offering something, when patients might not know where to look or where to find something that incentivizes them to come back in, and they are very much incentivized to come back in when they're paying for these subscriptions, I mean, that shows that you as a doctor really care about the patient and their access to care and also the affordability aspect of it. So I totally agree. There is a trust and relational element that come with the membership plans. And I think you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah. And you guys have so much great data on this. Membership does drive loyalty. You know, you guys see this, you know, patients visits 92% more often pay a traditional cash patient than actually. Can you talk about that? Like what did you say? 92% versus 66%. Clarify that. What is that?
Yeah, of course. So the 66%, that's essentially just your increase in cash production.
Okay. Okay.
So when you're comparing the membership plan patient to an uninsured patient that still doesn't have coverage, the membership plan patient on average is spending 66% more when it comes to just production. That's okay. What they're producing for the practice. When it comes to the 92% side of it, that's where we're seeing that they are much, much more likely to visit the practice. And like just rewinding a little bit on our conversation, we were talking about how a lot of these uninsured patients, they visit once every 2 years. So that's a big gap, especially if you're looking at your schedule and you don't necessarily think that it's optimized. That's where, how can I get this patient who's visiting once every 24 months, how can I get them to start visiting four times right. over 24 months, which is what I recommend as a dentist. So that's where, you know, I was listening to one of the podcasts earlier, and I think it was with Miranda, but she mentioned with cash flow, and also if you're getting these patients to pay for things up front and you're collecting up front, they're more likely to want to take advantage of what they're already paying for, right? So that's what the membership plan is doing. It's the patients, they see that you're offering a care plan for them. It's fully outlined. They see the value in it. They're paying for it and they want to take advantage of it. So you're getting these patients to visit more frequently. And we also see they are less likely to cancel appointments compared to cash patients. And I know cancellations and no-shows are a hot topic right now, from what we hear from some of our customers. So that's also another element too. They hold on to their appointments as well. So they book them, they visit, they hold on, and then they're more likely to say yes when you see that there's something wrong in their mouth.
Yeah, I love it. And so the whole point is like making this data visible and knowing how to use it, dispelling some of these myths you have in your mind about patients and the future of your practice, it's critical. And so I love this. And thank you for being on, Brad. You guys always have so much good, real data on the ground. Now, I want to do two things. Number one, I know people are going to be listening to this thinking like, what do you do? How do I get involved? Like, is this easy or is this not easy? I want you to point people in the right direction. But before we do, give us some final thoughts on what we've talked about today.
Yeah, I would say for final thoughts, I would continue to think about efficiency. Efficiency is king right now. And the more you can get people to really trust in your business, you're going to get them to produce more care. They'll say yes to more treatment. And overall, it's not industry specific, but a lot of businesses are focusing on what's called same store growth. So with same store growth, you're just looking to get more out of the relationships, the patients that you currently are working with. There's opportunities for them to feel more comfortable saying yes. There's opportunities for them to visit more frequently. And it's our job to give them that access to feel more comfortable, to feel like that they can afford the care that they may need. So I would say a lot of it is efficiency. And with that comes by building that trust and allowing them to make those confident decisions. So those are really my closing thoughts.
Yeah.
And then you wanted me to talk about they get in touch.
Well, one thing, I'm totally stealing that from you. Same store growth. I love that. I love that. I think if we think in terms of more same store growth, the better everyone's practice will be. So good stuff. Now, if I'm listening, how do I find out? Walk me through this. Like, Brad, how do I do this? How do I get this to work for my office? Like, what do you do? How do I get there? What do I do?
Yeah, of course. So with the membership plans and working with us specifically, I think a lot of it is they want to feel comfortable just seeing what the platform is. So they can just set aside some time. We'll run you through it. We'll learn more about your business, see what the fit is. That's 30 minutes. If they decide you like it, we ask for a fee schedule just so we can create customized plans, come to the table with suggestions that are data driven. And then the practices, they can, like you said earlier, they're in full autonomy and in control of these care plans, how to price them, et cetera. But they always do want to understand these benchmarks. So we'll come to the table, we'll have suggestions, we'll collaborate, we'll work together to build those plans. That's another 30-minute call. And then there's just a training after that. So a lot of practices and just a lot of businesses, I think about software, it can be a tall task. It can be a huge implementation. For us, we make it as simple as possible. For the team, it's giving them confidence to have these conversations with patients now, where otherwise they might not feel comfortable if a patient has large cases and they know that they don't have anything to support that patient when it comes to costs. And for the practice, obviously we talked about it, but there's huge upside in building stronger relationships, building more loyalty. And then you'll see that patients will produce more and accept more treatment as well. So so there's really just three steps to get started. And we work with the team. And then it's up and running after those three calls.
Yeah. Awesome, Brad. I love this. Thank you for being on. And as always, you guys make us better. You help us think better. And if you're listening to the podcast, you're not taking notes, don't worry. We're taking notes for you. So you can flip up to the notes section, whether you listen to iTunes, Spotify, Apple, you're going to see those three steps that Brad listed, and you can just click on them and take advantage of it. Now, I'll just say this out loud. We have partners, and obviously Clear is one of them, but we vet our partners. These are real solutions we absolutely believe in because they become so valuable in our coaching process of helping dentists create a better practice and a better life. So I can't scream enough about what they do, and I'm just going to encourage you to check it out. The caveat is you have to use it. So don't put your toe in the water, put your whole foot in the water and get started. I promise you it'll lead you in the right direction. So Brad, thanks for being on, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Kirk.
Yeah. Stick around while I say goodbye to everybody else, but thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show podcast. Thank you guys for showing up. That's our jam around here. Our job is to bring practical solutions, stuff you can use on the ground today, to make your practice and your life better. Over 900 episodes. We got 9,000 more. We love this stuff. So I'll make a deal with you. You keep showing up, we'll keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time or you hear from us next time, keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.